Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in verse number 26. 26 down through verse number 28. Let me say this. I hope all of you have a very, very Merry Christmas. I enjoyed all of the song service this morning. I like to sing those hymns. It's just that I'd rather sing them more during the year than we do. But at least we get to sing them on Christmas, and they are very special to us, and we thank the Lord for those that pen those songs for us. I want to preach this morning on this subject. I've thought about it for years. I don't think I've ever preached this before, especially this portion of Scripture. But I want to preach this morning on, and I see this, and I think you do too, in Christianity, is why are we inhibited when we are so inhabited? I am absolutely, Brother Mike, inhabited by another person. And that person wants absolutely control of me. And you. And because we are habited by that person, we ought to be able to live this life that God has given us by the glory of God. All He wants of us is to have us and to have His will and His way. Now let's read these verses. Verse number 26. For ye see your calling, brethren. Now let me say this about this calling. I have a special calling. I understand that. Pastor does, others do. And God, I know, did that. But I don't think this is all He is talking about here, because all of us have been called to salvation. All of us that are saved have been called into service. And so I don't think He's talking about our particular calling. He says, now notice this, and this is true, in whatever calling we have, how that not many, and if you would, mark these words as we read them. Lord willing, we'll get to them. Not many, think about this, underline it, circle it, not many wise men. And then he says, after the flesh. What he means by that would be not many wise men that we would call a wise man. After how we would choose one, not according to how God would. He said, not many. Now please put this down. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. Now, I like to study and look at all of the buts in the Bible. He said, but God hath chosen. What did He choose? He has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Brother Quisenberry said it like this before he went home to be with the Lord. He said, Brother Brown, I may not be so wise, I may not be so smart, but I know some things that all smart people ought to know. I had a friend of mine talking about his son. He was in Albany, Georgia, and I've never known a man brag about his children any more than he did. And so I finally said, I almost called his name, I don't want to do that. And I called his name, I loved him, friend of mine, saved individual, and I said, is your smart son saved? He said, well, I don't know about that. I said, he's pretty dumb. You agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. And God hath chosen the weak. Circle that. Please make note of that. The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base, keep circling these things. He makes a list of them. And base things of the world and things that are, he is not finished. And things that, things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things, look, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now, why in the world did God do all of this? Well, here's what he said. Verse number 29, he makes his statement. Then he comes back and he says that no flesh should glory in his presence. I wish I could read that. In my mind, I took a picture of it in my mind, but I don't know if I can. It was a sign in my doctor's office on Friday. I ain't going to try. But it maybe you know it. It's about his presence. It was a Christmas thing. And his presence. Oh, the present, I think it said the present under the tree was because of his presence. See, it was something I said. I said I was going to remember. I should have took a picture of it with the other thing, this thing, not this. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth. Man, what a statement. Let him glory in the Lord. We're to glory in the Lord. We're to glory in the cross. Amen. Now before we look at why God has chosen to do the things this way. And for whatever reason he has chosen to do that, he has every right because he's God. And he has every right because he's God, because he has no rivals. Who are you going to compare God with? We preachers sometimes do and shouldn't compare ourselves with one another. And sometimes musicians do that with pianos and guitars, and singers do that. And other people do that. I know children often in the same home competing with one another and things of that nature. But who are you going to compare to God? I can't compare. I can't compete. You can't compete. He's God, and he does what God wants to do and chooses what God wants to do. His ways are not my ways or your ways. They are far above my ways and your ways. And so God has chosen to do things his way. And so I want to deal with this practical matter this morning. Is it humility to say that you are not capable of being used of God? Listen to me. Every person saved by the grace of God can be and should be used of God. But some people believe this humility to say, I'm not good. Who is good enough? I've already talked about that. I'm not. You're not. Huh? It's a privilege. It's a service. It's a call. No, that when you say, I'm and trying to be humble when you do it. And a lot of humility is false humility. And saying, I just can't be used of God. I'm just not good. No, that's an insult. Amen. Why is it an insult, Brother Brown? It's an insult because God inhabits you. And because God inhabits me. I couldn't get back to my truck if God didn't inhabit me. Believers sometimes stand, this bothers me, and I'm afraid I've seen it with preachers. Believers sometimes stand with, I don't know, drooping shoulders. You've seen it. And with an apologetic voice declaring, I just serve God in my own poor little weak way. I've seen them walk up to the pulpit, walk a whole lot better than I can, and just go on and on about how good it is to be with God. Stop right now. God does not want you to serve him in that way. He wants you to serve him in a mighty way, in a dynamic way, in a bold way, in a dynamite way. He lives in you, and it's an insult to God to say that to him. What some people call humility, I just call poor posture. He would like to display his glory in you. Why? Because God has, Brother Carl, a wonderful plan for you. You know what his plan was for you? To use you in your condition. Yeah. He is in the business. See if you can agree with this. In getting glory. Amen. Not for you. Right. But he's in the business of getting glory for himself. Right. And he's not going to share it with me. And he's not going to share it with you. So just give him the glory. Well, look at verse number 18 of chapter number 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
He then chooses what the world considers, Brother Danny, to be weak. He does this so that no flesh can ever glory in his presence, Brother Jerry. Amen. This way, it is God who lives in us that gets the glory and not us. First this morning, I want to look at some very embarrassing qualifications. First of all, I want us to look, and we all fit it. All of our qualifications, if we were being interviewed by God, this would be our qualifications. The foolish ones. That's you. That's me. We're the foolish ones. The word foolish comes from the Greek word, and it's translated moros. And you know where moros comes from. We get our word moron from it. So, Brother Brown, are you calling us morons? No, but God is. And I'm in the group. It denotes someone who is. Listen, did you know that you are dull? Did you know that you are sluggish? And perhaps someone who is sometimes silly. Brother Dave, that fits you to the T. Amen. I'm glad he loves me. Perhaps someone that's just plain silly. So, you were not at the top of your class. How many of you were? Maybe a lot more in here. I wasn't. I was always skimming the bottom of the class. When I went, they had like, we'd all in the first grade. But then they had the A and the B and the C groups. And I was always down here. That took a little bit more for me. When I was in Bible college, and I had my first year, I knew better than that. I failed the very first grade. I had to take it twice. But I made A's, and second time I took it, I had an advantage over the others. I'd already been through there. And then they did me like, and I went to Bible college, they did that with Greek. I had to take that first year of Greek twice. I didn't get to go to Greek 1 and Greek 2. I had to go back to Greek 1 and do that again. But I did good. I'm glad I failed it. You said, Brother Brian, well, it cost me money. I wasn't glad about that. But I was glad I failed it because if they'd have passed me through the first year, I wouldn't have known nothing. I don't anyway. But I'm glad I went back through it. Something I just have to do. Do you do that sometimes? You ever read Charles Spurgeon? I have to read him and read him and read. I'm talking about a paragraph. I'll read a paragraph and then read it again and read it again, read it again, read it again. Why? Because he's way above me. So you wasn't at the top of your class. You don't hold a PhD. I do. Well, you do too, whether you know it or not. I got to praise him daily.
Amen.
Not the kind of PhD the world thinks I got. But does this mean God can't use you. I'm tired of people saying, God can't use me. God can use you, and God will use you. On the contrary, God is looking for somebody just like you. Why? Because relationship is a whole lot more important than scholarship. Amen. Relationship and fellowship is what God wants. Second, now, not only the foolish ones, mark this down, and I'm going to try to finish this if I can. I need to be winding down, but just stay with me a minute. It's Christmas. Amen. Give me a present this morning. Let me stay a little bit longer. All right? Look at the weak ones. The weak ones. This word weak has to do with physical weakness. Even infirmities. Are you weak? Are you sickly? Do you have a disability? Oh, you're just right for God. Congratulations. God is willing to do, you know what He wants to do with you? Mighty things. With your frail body. His strength will be made perfect through your weakness. Friend of mine, Brother Mike Hendricks, died just a few years ago. Mike was not expected to live over just a few weeks when he was born. I can't remember the day. I would say he made it at least 60. And he preached about 10 times a week in the county jail, in the nursing home. He had ministry after ministry after ministry. He was hard with his speech, was just absolutely hard to understand. But Brother Alderman would preach him, and he'd be in that wheelchair. He couldn't walk a lick, and he had an old van. And the springs were sticking out in the seat and would cut your rear to sit in it. And Mike would drive that thing, you know, he'd let that door down. He'd get up in there and get in there and drive it, you know, with his hands. He had to drive his van like a motorcycle. So I got this idea that I was going to take him with me on some meetings and try to drum him up some support. And see if I couldn't get him a little monthly support. So we were going to Florida. I said, Mike, I am not riding with you. You'll have to ride with me. And we won't be able to stop to go to the bathroom. So here. I won't explain that any further. And because I got him up, the first time I got him up into my van, I had one of those high-top vans. I got up under him, got my shoulder under him. I got him up. I pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. Finally got him in there. I said, ain't no way you're going to get out of here till we get there, and then when we get back home, I'll get you out again. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. And then he got on my door, and I thought he'll pull my door slap off. Because he was over 400 pounds. I got him to Florida. We went in a little fishing village in Steinhatchee. And the door wasn't 2 foot wide. And him in that chair, and I said, how am I going to get him in the room? I had to get him out of the chair and drag his body in the door get fold a wheelchair up, get it in the room, undo it again, set him in there, and then he had to go in the bathroom. And it wasn't 2 foot. I had to get him out, drag him in there, drag him back, throw him up on the bed. And he preached 10 times a week. And I'd have never left the house. I'd have stayed where I was. I just said, and I got him back, and I said, Mike, I'm sorry, I love you, I thank God for all you do, but we ain't going to have no more meetings together. I can't do it. But I appreciate what you do. You'd have thought I didn't, but I did. I just. And then another one, Mike Chitty. I didn't know. I was pastoring at Bible Baptist Church in Chiefland, Florida. And he called me. I had heard of him. I think I had met him. And he was asking me for a meeting. And honest to God, Brother Ben, I thought somebody was playing a prank. My preacher friends do that all the time. And I thought they were praying. Somebody was playing a prank on me and with their voice. And I come close to hurting his feelings. Because I was fixed to say something. But I didn't. God protected me. And I found out it was Mike Chitty wanting to come to my church and present his work. And ain't nobody at my church yet knew what he said when he got there. We let him come, and we helped him, and he helped people like himself. And that was his ministry. I'm just saying, he's describing the kind of people that me and you have no time for so many times, that God calls them and puts them out there, and they get things across that we can't even understand sometimes, but somebody else can. Notice with me, let me do this. I'm going to be through. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to be through, but I'm going to quit. Thirdly, notice the base ones. This is all I want to do is give you these definitions. This word means a lowly birth, not a noble birth. In other words, you didn't get here. I don't know how many of you did. I didn't. I didn't get here with any pedigree. Not born with a silver spoon in your mouth. I wasn't born in a log cabin, but thank God before too many years we got one. You're supposed to get that. He delights to use those that are born on the other side of the tracks. God also delights to use the despised ones. Who's that, Brother Brown? This word means those whom the world writes off for no account. Those who are treated with contempt. Those that are treated with scorn. So others look at you with contempt and scorn and say, you've heard this expression, he or she will never amount, say it with me, to a hill of beans. Praise God. You have just qualified according to the Word of God for God to use you mightily. Amen. Last of all, there ones, you remember us reading it, who are not. They're the ones that are overlooked completely. They do not even get to be despised. They are not good enough to be despised. They are not listed as who's who's. They are listed at who's not. Am I speaking about somebody here today? you're just in the right place for God to use you. All he wants is for us to be met, to be used. You remember the song? I hadn't heard it in years. I think I talked to you about it, Caleb. My name made news in heaven when I got saved. How many of you have heard that song? One. I know it's old. It's older than me. Older than me and Brother Dave put together. It's old. So it might even be older than Brother Mike. I don't know. But I know one thing. My name did make news in heaven in 1968 when I got saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's make ready for invitation.